Kenny Blumenfeld is with me via phone. Thanks, Kenny, for being here.
Always good to be on there, Katya. Always good to be on.
It is always good, and I'm particularly looking forward to this conversation, partly because it's been 2 weeks, but boy, what a 2 weeks we have had, and I just felt like I needed to spout a little bit about just the temperatures that go up. You know, we had a ski season ended with 45. At first, the meet was almost canceled because it was below freezing, below zero and 20-mile-an-hour winds. And then 1 week later, it was 45 degrees, and amazingly, Giants Ridge snow conditions were still pretty good. And then for the state meet, there was rain, and it feels like a wild ride in February here. So I just needed to make sure that you heard that first.
Yeah, and was that rainy meet? Are we talking about Valentine's Day or the other rain?
Yeah, there was a hard rain, and then I guess it's all getting mixed in my mind now. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's hard to remember. There's been a lot. It's been a strange winter. Yeah, so we've been, you know, basically the kind of winter weather machine turned off for a bit.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of coughing. I guess it's just kind of coughing up, and, you know, you get these little surges of colder air. We haven't had any real snow in Minnesota, nothing big, for almost a month now. We've had a little bit in far southeast Minnesota and the usual, you know, light snow up in the northeastern areas in the higher terrain. But until this last system on Tuesday, which was a statewide rain event in, you know, the middle of February.
Yeah.
But it did end with some snow in the west and in the north. I know the Two Harbors area, depending on where you were, only had a trace of snow or maybe up to an inch or two in some of the higher terrain. But
there was maybe 12 flakes.
yeah. It was a rare winter rain for northern Minnesota and for southern Minnesota. We got anywhere between a third of an inch and up to an inch in some places. A few areas around the Twin Cities and along the North Shore actually had over an inch of precipitation, and that was mostly, if not entirely, rain. So kind of weird. I mean, it's not unheard of. We've done it before. There are bigger rainfall events on record in Minnesota, but this did have some rare company, some unusual unusual bedfellows.
And can you tell us why? Like, was it just because all our air was coming from New Orleans or something? I mean, it didn't seem like it was a southwest wind, I noticed.
Yeah, so good question. So this was a standard low-pressure system, the same type that produces all our winter storms. The main difference was that instead of having its center pass from, say, Des Moines to, like Rhineland or Wisconsin, that's just an excellent track to bury the North Shore and the Arrowhead in snow. Instead, this one went from Omaha through the Twin Cities, and it was just a little farther northwest. And so, you know, this kind of distance really matters, because what that means is much of Minnesota was really on the warm side of this system, or at least on the not cold side,
right,
while it was passing through. You know, if you went out into North Dakota, all that precipitation, it wasn't as much, but it fell as snow because they were, you know, 15, 20 degrees colder the entire time. But because the air was actually coming out of the east and southeast while the storm was approaching, and then it turned around to the northeast, those are all pretty, you know, eastern maritime directions for us. So they tend to bring in warm air and moist air, and not that kind of cold, dry air that we associate with our winter storms. So I think the easiest way of putting it is that this was a regular winter storm. It just was farther to the northwest, and that put us in a pretty warm air mass. I mean, it got cold after it passed.
Right.
So this wasn't quite the same situation where we would say the storm had no access to the cold air. The cold air was actually waiting right behind it. It's just that we were almost all in the wrong position to take advantage of that cold air. So Minnesota had, you know, one of its biggest wintertime rainfall events. You know, not the biggest, but it's, you know, it's up there, and people will probably not remember the event, but I think they're going to remember this winter as a winter where, apart from the snow and the other things that happened, it rained a lot.
And blew a lot. It seems like the wind is another outstanding feature.
Okay, yeah, we haven't heard as much about that, especially the last month or so. I'd have to take a closer look. We haven't had the pacing of those fast-moving weather systems like we had last year, all those Alberta Clippers. So this time last year, you and I were talking about, you know, here comes another Clipper, and the temperature's going to be 41, and then it's going to fall to 10 below, and that was happening every 36
Oh, yeah. I do remember that, now that you mentioned that. Yes.
Yeah. So I tend to think that last winter had an edge on this one in terms of overall windiness. But I don't dispute, especially near the lake, that, you know, there's been lots of opportunity for some pretty strong winds.
It seems like we have very little of just the calm winter that I think of. But maybe that's just, you know, perception. Mm-hmm. Of what's next. I feel like it could be anything.
Yeah, well, so it is a little uncertain, but we had an event. An event has happened. It's called sudden stratospheric warming. And that sounds kind of scary, right? It's actually a process that's been kind of part of the climate system for ages, and we've learned more about it with some of the surveillance capabilities in recent decades, and especially in the last 1 to 2 decades, and sudden stratospheric warming. So remember, the atmosphere is made up of all these different layers. The one that we live in that's closest to the ground is called the troposphere. And then there's a little layer where the air temperature doesn't change with height, and that's called the tropopause. And then above the tropopause is the stratosphere. And that's where our ozone layer is. That's the area where, you know, a lot of aircraft will fly. And, you know, there's not generally, so we thought, a lot of weather in the stratosphere. All of the weather happens down at the ground. But it turns out that some of these big polar circulations, when you send up weather balloons, they often will go into the stratosphere, you know, just to the daily weather balloons that are launched. And with satellite technologies and a few other things, we're able to kind of get a better sense of what the atmosphere is doing at higher altitudes, including in the stratosphere. And one of the things that's been kind of, I wouldn't say discovered, but we're much more aware of over the, you know, past few decades, is that there really are important motions in the stratosphere, especially in the polar regions, that are connected to our weather. Mm-hmm. So we're talking, you know, 5 to maybe 15 or 20 miles off the ground. There's this big rotating, you just think of it as a cylinder, this big rotating cylinder around the North Pole. And this is, you've heard this word before, it's called the polar vortex. And this is basically holding the warm air from the south. It's sort of balancing out the really cold Arctic air and the really warm air from the south. And it's sort of basically the meeting point of those two. But this extends like a soup can up into the stratosphere. And now with current technologies, we can actually track how it behaves, which way it moves. And every once in a while, it doesn't happen every year. It's maybe every 2 years on average, or, you know, but you get something called a stratospheric warming event, where basically the direction that soup can in the atmosphere is rotating, kind of, it starts to reverse. It slows and then it reverses. And then all of the cold air that's kind of bottled up there in the stratosphere plunges towards the polar region. This is essentially the breaking of that polar vortex, which is what allows cold air to wash into, you know, deeper into North America or into Eurasia. And then as that cold air plunges through the stratosphere, it's essentially replaced very quickly by much, much warmer air. And the temperature can rise in the stratosphere during these events, like, you know, 50 degrees Celsius, which is 90 degrees Fahrenheit, in a matter of, you know, a matter of a day or two. And this totally reconfigures the dynamics. In other words, the sort of the fluid, the motions and the behavior of that circumpolar or the polar vortex. And so now, you know, we know enough to know when you see one of these sudden stratospheric warming events, it happened about a week ago, there's usually, you've been put on notice. You got 1 to 3 weeks before you start seeing big weather changes, and there's always mystery. You don't know, are the weather changes going to affect the United States, or are they going to mostly be a Eurasian phenomena? If it does affect the United States, is it going to be just the eastern or northeastern part, or is it going to shift farther west and affect us? So all we know is that there's going to be a polar vortex event, pretty big one, somewhere in the northern hemisphere. There's still a little bit of uncertainty about where that is, but the whole point of all this is we do see cold air starting to kind of pool up near the, it getting deeper and deeper into Canada and pushing farther south. And that's going to be meeting with kind of the emergence of spring, the warming air to the south, and there's going to be a temperature boundary somewhere over North America that looks quite potent. And so we're looking at the potential for a major snowstorm somewhere in the region in the middle of next week. You know, I don't want to get too cute with the details, but there, you know, there are certainly signs that this could be one of the bigger snowstorms of the season in areas that it hits. We're not exactly sure who it's going to hit. And then the question is this become the beginning of an actual polar vortex episode for us, or is it more like we just have kind of a cold to warm boundary with a lot of weather systems passing through? Both those options seem to be possible. So that big change, going to start seeing snow this weekend and into early next week, and then a potentially large and powerful storm in the middle of the week.
Huh.
So by the time we talk on Friday, we'll know we were either totally missed by this thing or we got socked and we're still digging out. Who knows?
Who knows? Thank you, Kenny. That was fascinating. And so in a nutshell, it seems like one of the very basic formers of our weather has significantly changed. And so we can just look out to see if we, you know, maybe if you didn't know that, you'd just notice that there's another big storm. But I mean, it sounds like we may also have, like you said, extreme cold, but also extreme warm after this. If
it could be, I mean, that's the thing. It's sort of a lottery. We don't actually know who's going to get cold and who's going to win that ticket. Is it going to be us? Is it going to be the Northeast U.S.? Is it going to be, you know, is it going to be Central Asia and a lot of Russia? We don't know yet.
Okay.
So the cold weather is kind of an iffy thing, it looks like, but there's some evidence that it's going to get colder. Just how cold is unclear, but stormy looks quite likely.
Okay.
And the Weather Service in Duluth has a nice graphic about it this morning, if anyone wants to go check it out. It's just kind of a little explainer of what the next week or so looks like.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kenny. We'll talk again next week and have more to say about this, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I'll enjoy hearing what the landscape looks like when we talk next Friday. Have a great weekend, Katya.
You too. Bye-bye. That was Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR.